We're going to pick up right where we left off in the 12th chapter of Mark. Then the scribes sent to him some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." And they brought one. And he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Jesus said to them, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. The group who is gathering on Wednesday morning to read Sabbath as Resistance, some of this will sound very familiar to. We have two passages. It's really one long stretch. And it's really one story, because it's the follow-up to what we do when we don't like the answer the first time around. You guys are familiar that sometimes we go looking for the answer we want, particularly if we've gotten the answer we don't want. And this is one of those parables that turns into much more. It's a simple parable that we tend to hang on to the slogans at the end. The stone that is rejected shall become the cornerstone. And not quite pay so much attention to the actual text of the parable. There's an owner, a landowner, who prepares a vineyard. He buys the land, he prepares the land, he sets up a watchtower, he does all these things. He prepares this, and then he hires some folks to work the ground. And then the owner leaves. When it's time for the harvest, the owner sends back to get his share of the harvest. That doesn't go over incredibly well. There's one slave who's beaten, there's one who's beaten over the head, there's one who's killed, and then there are many others who are treated the same way, Mark tells us. I don't know that I have the patience for many others to be treated the same way. What's going on with the farmers? Well, on some level, the farmers have forgotten it's not their farm. Think about for a moment the scale of things when you have to hire multiple people to work your ground. Remember 40 acres and a mule? 40 acres was as much ground as any one family could work. That was it. That was what you could handle. So you got 40 acres and a mule, and you did your thing. So if you have to hire multiple folks to work your ground, we're not talking small potatoes, right? And knowing people as we do, do you honestly think that they're not going to fight over who deserves the larger share, even if they can get the owner to run away? The owner then takes the next step and says, surely they will respect my son, my heir. Ha! They think, acquisition mode Wednesday morning, people, if we get rid of him, it's all ours. That's not really how it works, is it? I mean, this is enough to make several late-night TV movies, and then you have another heir and things like that, and it pretty soon snowballs. They think that they own it. They think it's theirs to make decisions about. And they think it's theirs to keep. That's dangerous thinking, isn't it? But they're in that mode where more is better. Right? You ever known somebody for whom more was better? You ever watched us sometimes in the fellowship hall? More is better. We played a little math game in Sunday school this morning. There's an old story about a man who goes to work for a king. And he says, here's how you're going to pay me. And he takes out a chessboard. And he puts one single piece of corn on the first square. And two on the second square. And four on the third square. And it's going to double every day. His wages are going to double. Well, the king thinks this is a great deal. Yeah, you know what 2 to the 63rd power looks like? In scientific form, it's written as 9 with 18 zeros and some change after that. We figured out in Sunday school that we know what a trillion is, but we get really lost after that. More is dangerous thinking. And so is thinking that it's ours. We have these farmers who are convinced that they own this thing. And the scribes don't like this story because they're convinced that Jesus is talking about them. That may be like when a congregation member says, you were preaching to me today, Pastor. How did you know? There may be a little guilty voice going on back here with the scribes. They don't tell us. So they send people in to try to get Jesus tripped up. I mean, you can tell this is a loaded question right off the bat, can't you? Should we pay taxes or not? I mean, that's a loaded question, isn't it? Even if they didn't tell us that they were sending people in to trip Jesus up, we might figure that out on our own. And Jesus doesn't answer the question in very Jesus-like fashion. Says, show me a coin. And they show him a denarius, coin of the day. And of course, it has the emperor's head on it and the emperor's name. And the line that we all remember is render unto Caesar, right? Give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God what is God's. There's the whammy statement. What's God's? Right? There's the whammy statement. If we're reading the first part of the passage the way we traditionally read it, the vineyard is God's. The fruit of the vineyard is God's. The servants are God's. The son is God's. And now you know why the scribes are so ticked off. But it's harder than that, because this comment about giving to God what is God's, well, I like my stuff. And I got it all just through my own hard work and labor. Right? I see there's at least a couple of folks smirking at me. I mean, if we're going to take this last part seriously, then we have to look at our days and our hours and our weeks and our minutes and our moments. And that's often uncomfortable. This cross is from my church in Ridgeway. It's one of the three I started off at. We had a grand total of 14 members when I got there. It's a big church. It's my church. Let me be very clear about that. It is my church in the same way that this cross belongs to my church. And the my is not made up of our stuff. As I sat in the sanctuary and watched pieces roll out of the building yesterday, the baptismal font, the piano, the kitchen. The my is made up of the memories and the moments. And it made me wonder as I was preparing for this sermon. Well, it didn't make me wonder. It reminded me that I did not take those moments perhaps as seriously as I should as gifts from God. Walking into a church as the pastor who signed a contract 2 weeks earlier to find a bagpiper playing an evening event, and finding out through the grapevine that one of the husbands of one of the members at one of my other two churches had died, and Lori was sitting there next to me, and finding out that the father of one of her members had died, same person. We found out through the grapevine while the bagpiper played in the sanctuary originally. Not because we were the pastors of the churches who had suffered a loss, those are the moments that you learn that people just don't call just because something goes wrong. And your name being on the sign is not enough to make you the pastor. So sitting in the sanctuary, I thought a lot about what God had given me and how it works. Some days how it doesn't work. I also thought that through the last 15 years of doing this, I have never been in a church that had enough. I've been in plenty of churches that if they just had more young people, or more money, or a better preacher, you hear that one a lot, or a better building, or a gym, you know, if we only had a gym.
take the pews out, we'd have a gym.
Right? And I think one of the things we need to adjust is how we think about what we have.
How they get around.
Because we think about what we have, and we put what we have, and that turns into what we have to give away after we make sure that we have enough for us. I had a place that listened to 156 sermons a year for me. Three services every Sunday. They're absolutely nuts, aren't they? So, we can look at that two ways. I had a place where I had to lead worship three times every Sunday. And I got that because I wasn't good enough to get a big church. Or I had a place that was willing enough to take a shot on a kid, 25 years old, fresh out of seminary, who thought he could tell them something about God.
That's a better attitude.
Which way do we look at what God has given us? It matters. It matters a lot. Whether it's our vineyard or whether we give to God what is God's. So should we pay taxes? Oh, the church equivalent of that question to a new pastor is, so pastor, what do you think about tithing? That's the church equivalent. And if they really want to trip you up, they'll go, is tithing off of gross income or net income? Guess what? We're not really talking about tithing, are we? We're saying, how much do you want from me? And God is saying, just give God what is God's. Right? That's a dangerous thing to say. That's an exceptionally dangerous thing to say. Because if we belong to God, fully belong to God, God gets our lousy days as much as God gets our great days. Or perhaps more importantly, God doesn't get just our lousy days. And if all of this is a loan from God, what's the phenomenal viewpoint that it lets us take? This is what we have to give. Right? It's not ours. I need to hoard it. I need to keep it. I need to accumulate it. This is what we have to give. Annie, you sure the roof's intact? Imagine how different it sounds if we don't say we've got 73 members on the rolls. We're a small church. What can we do? Right? I mean, that's standard church language for this situation. What if we say, we have 73 fully gifted by God people. What is it that we can't do?
Amen.
You hear the difference? That difference matters, but it also means that we have to actually get to know each other and what our gifts are. Because we may be trying to put them together in the wrong ways. I've told you guys the story about the investment banker who wanted to teach middle school Sunday school, right? Instead of being the church treasurer. Now, which one is harder to find, a treasurer or a middle school Sunday school teacher?
Yes.
Either way.
How do you know that unless you ask? When I was in youth group, they would often take us to youth retreats and they'd give us a box full of junk and tell us to make something. Okay, here's your box. And it's got two cardboard tubes that are 6 feet long, and it's got a thing of saran wrap and a thing of aluminum foil and some duct tape, because you can't do anything without duct tape. And some styrofoam egg cartons. And you need to make a moon lander. You got 30 minutes, go. Let me tell you, you see some really interesting moon landers when you have to stop talking about what you don't have and use what you do have. So, how has God prepared this vineyard that is not ours? What stuff, what people, what gifts has God set us up with to do what comes next? Right? We know some of this stuff. We tell stories about some of this. Do you remember when Ray and Jack, right? Right? We know some of those stories, but did you understand that in 25 years somebody's going to go, do you remember when Gayla? Right, but by then we can do it when she's not in the room. Do you remember when? What are those stories going to be, and why aren't we telling them now? Because those are the gifts God has and is giving us. And they're not ours just to hoard. They're ours to use.
Yeah.
They're ours to tell the story about and with and in great hope. After all, I mean, Jesus makes it sound so terribly simple and easy. Just give God what is God's. Right? Just do that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with everything you have and everything you are. And just give God what is God's. Now, if that was simple, you wouldn't even need to come back next week. We've told you what you need to know. Now, done. Next crop for next week. We're going to say three things. Let's go. It's a little harder than that, isn't it? So whose stuff do we have? It's not ours. It's not our vineyard. It's not our church, as much as we say it's my church. Are you willing to look not at the glass half empty, but at the glass overflowing with what God has given?